Today's daf, Be'ezer Hashem, is daf Yud Beis and Masech Sota. Continuing on with the Gadita, we left off three lines from the bottom on Yud Aleph on the Beis. We were talking about Kalev. The Pasuk in Divrei Yom describes that he was married to Ephrath, and Chazal Darshin that this Ephrath was Miriam. We continue to elaborate on this point. V'chalei ben chetzon holiv es azuva isha v'esirios ve'elu baneha describes, the Kalev here described as ben chetzron, which will be discussed later, gave birth to three children, Yesher, Shovav, v'ardon. Says the Gemara, ben chetzron, ben yifunu, we have Kalev as being the son of Yefunah, by Midbar Yugimel. So what does it mean that Kalev was the son of Chetzron? So Gemara says, actually, at this stage, his father's real name was Chetzron. And Yefunah was a different expression that was given to him. What is Yefunah? Who ben shepana me'atzas meraglin. That he turned away from the Eitzah of the spies. Of course, Kalev and Yoshua were the two spies that did not cave in. Asks the Gemara, fine. So really, the Pasuk Divrei Hayamim wins, biologically. His father's name was Chetzron, and Yefunah was just mean, Shepanim Me'atzas Meraglim. Asks the Gemara, but there's another father over here. Va'akati ben Knazu, v'chsiv v'yilkada azmiel ben Knaz, achi Kalev. In Shoftim, we have the Shofet of Asmiel, who's described as the brother of Kalev, and his father is Knaz. Amarava Chargo de Knaz. Kalev was actually a half-brother of Asmiel, and that's called a Choreg. The Choreg is that he was the son of the same mother, but not of the same father. Tekenami, Pichsiv Hakneizi. The fact that the Torah describes him as Knizi and not B'nai Knaz, the way it's used to describe Asniel, means that Knaz was his adopted father, his mother's other husband, but not his actual biological father. The Gemara now continues and elaborates on the Pasuk that we had seen about Kalev ben Chetzron in Divrei Hayomim, Aleph Perek Beis. And the Pasuk said that he was Kalev ben Chetzron, holid es Azuva. He had given birth to Azuva. Says the Gemara, Azuva is Zu Miriam. Azuva here refers to Miriam. V'lama nikra shma Azuva. And why is she called this name, which means to abandon? Shakol Azuva mitchila. Everybody used to run away from her. The Gemara is going to describe that Miriam was sickly. And Rashi spells this out, two lines from the top. She was sickly, and no one wanted to marry her, except Kalev did. Okay. The Gemara continues and asks that there is something very problematic from this pasuk. If we put all the pieces together, if you're going to say Azuva is Miriam, and Azuva is the son of Kalev ben Chetzron, then what will come out is that Kalev did not marry Miriam, as the Gemara had suggested earlier in Yud Aleph on the Beis, but rather he was Miriam's father, according to the Pasuk at Divrei Hayom, which we know is not true. She's the daughter of Amram and Yocheved. Holid v'alo mintzav havinasla. He married her. He wasn't her father. Amrav Yochan kol anosa isha l'shem shemayim ala avakasav kiila yolda. No, because he married her l'shem shemayim, as we mentioned before, she was sick. Here, Rashi tells us an important yesod, which appears in Bava Basra, on Daf Kuf Yud Amin Aleph and Perek Yesh Nochlin, that he looked into her brothers, and he saw that she had Moshe and Aaron. And the rule of thumb is that most children are similar to the brother of the mother, so therefore he decided to marry her because of that. So because it was L'shem Shemayim and not for her looks, so then we give the expression, Malo Avakosav Ki'ilu Yolda. exactly the significance of having given birth there, there are very elaborate explanations brought down. Particularly, I see quoted in the name of Sefer Iyun Yaakov, an explanation. We will leave that for now, but obviously that's a simon of marrying her l'shem Shemayim. The Pasuk had said in Divrei Hayamim, that same Pasuk, that he had given birth, Kalev had given birth to Azuva, that's Urios. Literally, Urios are hides, like a tan hide. So says the Gemara, no, actually, this is not another child of Kalev. We just got through saying now that Azuva is Miriam, who's really his wife, and it's Kilu Nolda. So let's continue on with that approach, says the Gemara. What we're going to have is that Azuva Isha Ves Urios is more of a description, an allegorical description of Miriam. Shahaya Panel Domel Urios, her face was so tan, was so unhealthy, it looked like a hide of skin. Ve'elu baneha, al tikri baneha, ela boineha. Don't read it as saying her children, but her husband, that he built her into a woman, that even though she was not pretty, he built her into something that was very, very important in the motherhood of Klal Yisrael, even though no one wanted her to become a mother because of her looks. The pasuk continues and says, Ve'luvanel, this is the one who built her, Yashar. So we're talking now about Kalev. Shiyashir Satsmo, he straightened himself out. He straightened himself out not to fall into the mistake of the Meraglim. If a person continues to stay straight, then they will not fall into terrible suggestions. The next part of the pasuk is, his name is Yesher Vishovav, says Chazal, Shovav Sheshivev Es Yitzro. He was rebellious with his Yetzirah. The pasuk that Rashi quotes to bring out the idea of Shevav is Habat HaShoveva in Yirmiyo, the wild girl. In other words, what would it mean that he was wild with the Yetzirah? It seems that he didn't feel bound to the Yetzirah, just like a child who doesn't follow the rules is wild. He didn't follow the rules of the Yetzirah. The last part of the pasuk was Ve'erdon Sherodo Es Yitzro. He ruled over his Yetzer. It could very well be that this description of Kalev, as first as Shiyashir Atman, then Shovev, Sheshivev Es Yitzro, Ve'erdon Sherodo Es Yitzro, is the way in which one should do a melchamta with the Yetzer. First, the person has to have their priorities straight. He needs to have Yashir Atman. Means that he has to know what is right and what is wrong. If he doesn't know what's right and is wrong, he doesn't even know he's being ensnared by the Yetzirah, even when the Yetzirah is very powerful. Number two, then the next step is no longer to be meshubit to the Yetzirah. Even if chas v'chalila he falls, to be a shovev with the Yetzirah, to be wild with the Yetzirah, that the Yetzirah doesn't have you. And then finally, after a person straightens their way of thinking out, and they're no longer, they work to be at the point that they're no longer to meshubit to the Yetzirah, then, only then, after that process, will they be able to mamish rule over the Yetzer Hara? And some say, Hayu Paneha Domin Leveret. And some say that the reason why that the expression of Ardon is used is because the face of Miriam was like a rose. So Gemara continues to find other psukim in Divrei Hayamim that also refer to the relationship between Kalev and Miriam. The pasuk says, "Ula Ashur Avi Sekoa Hayushtei Nashim Kalev Enara." The Gemara understands that all these names are allegorical. Ashur ze Kalev. It's a reference to Kalev. Lama Nikrish my Ashur. Why was he called the darkened one? Shehushkuru Panav Betainus. His face became dark. Betainus. This is a expression that we have often in Chazal, that someone who's not well or is fasting is referred to as darkish, and someone who is well is referred to as bright. Avi, we said Ashur is Avi Tekoa. That's what the pasuk in Divrei Yomim Aleph Derek Dalid says. What does that mean? Avi Shenaslo Ke'av. Ke'av. That he was to her like a father in taking her and making her better, because we had said earlier that she was sick. Tekoa shetoka es libo laviv sheba shemayim. That he inserted his heart, he made rooted his heart to his father in heaven, that he didn't fall to the Yetzirah. The pasuk continues, Hayushtei Nasim, he had two wives. Says the Gemara, no, it doesn't mean that there is a person, Ashkar, who had two wives, whose names were Chala and Nara. Rather, what does it mean, Hayushtei Nasim? Nasim Miriam Kishtei Nasim, Chala and Nara. She was like two women. In her life, she had been like two women, Chala and Nara. Lo Chala, Vinara Avoy. It wasn't that these are names, but rather Ella Bitchila Chala Ulabsof Nara. Originally she was sick, and ultimately Kalev nursed her to be a girl, and we're going to see a good looking girl. Uvne Chala Saras Vitsohar Vesnan. And the children of Chala were Tzaras, Tzar, and Esnan. The pasuk continues there in Perek Dal Devarim. The Chazal Darshin, again, that these are not children, and Chala means something else. Chala is when she was sick. What happened? Tzaras, Shenasa, Tzar, Lechavruseha. She caused pain to her friends. Shahayu, and why? Because she had become very pretty. Soar, Shayipanea Domin Kitzaraim. Her face shone. Interestingly, her face shone while her husband was someone who was dark because of fast. Esnan, Shekola Roos, and Malik Esnan, Lishta. Whoever saw her would want to bring a present to their wife because they desired to be with a woman because she was so pretty. The Gemara continues 3 lines from the wide. Anyud Beis Amud Aleph. Going back to the history of Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim Vayisav, Paro L'chol Amoy, Paro commanded his entire nation of Yosef, Hanina Afal Amo Gazur. He even made decrees against his whole nation. V'amra B'yosef, Baruch Hanina, Shalosh G'zeres Gazur B'tchila. He made 3 decrees in the beginning. In Ben Huvamiteno, so if he's a boy, you got to kill him, he said to the Mialdas, as we spoke about yesterday. Ulebesof, kol ben ayilod hayora tashuhu. Originally, he had even relied on the Shifra and Pua. It didn't work. Then he said that the officers have to throw them in, Rashi explains. Ulebesof, hafal amo gazar. And in the end, he even decreed against his own nation. The pasuk says there was a man, Amram, had gone from Beis Levi, Yikach es Beis Levi. I'm reviewing the Barzina, Shalach Patas Bito. He took the advice of his daughter. This wasn't a man who was going for the first time to marry a woman. Tana, Amram, Gadol Adoraya. Amram was one of the Gadol Adoraya. Kivin Shurasha, Amar Moshe, Paro Harasha, Kala Bena Yilod HaYora Tashichuhu. When he heard that Paro had made this awful decree, Amar Lashav Anu Melim, are we going to work for nothing? That ultimately the children are going to be killed. Amar Zegiresh Yizishta, he divorced his wife, he divorced Yochevet, Amdu Kulam Yigirsh Yisnishasin. And then everybody followed. That's what one of the Gedolei Hador did, everybody followed. Amar Lo Bitoi. So Miriam said to him, Abba, Koshik Zeraschal, yes, and Michel Paro, your decree is even worse than Paro. Shepara la gazal ascharim, vata gazart al ascharim val nekevoi. Your decree went up even both against the boys and the girls. There are going to be no Jewish children. Paro la gazal, only on the ascharim. Paro similarly. Paro la gazal, balamazeh, vata balamazeh, loilamabo. You're taking away any potential child that will be born from Olamabo, even though it's true, Paro will take away their Olamazeh. Paro Yarosha Safik Miskayam Zera. So Safikain Miskayam. Paro makes it Zera, but who knows? Maybe we'll be able to circumvent the awful Zera. But your Zera is going to be a Vadai. Safik Ainu Miskayemis. Atta Tzadik. Bevadai shegzeras becha mekayemes. Certainly your gzera is going to And this point that it's tzaddik, whatever he says is definitely going to be mekayem, is brought out by the pasuk in Iyov, shenemar v'sigzar oimer, in regards to a tzaddik, whatever he says becomes decree, v'yokom lach, and everything is fulfilled. Omad v'hichzer zishta. So what Amram did is he was inspired by his daughter's plea, and he remarried. Amdukulam v'zlirus nushisayin. And everybody got married as well. Asks the Gemara, if that would be so, then why does it say Vayelech ish mi beis levi, Vayikach as beis levi, Vayachzor mi boi levi? It should say that he returned his wife, and everyone else did as well. Amar Yehuda bar Zvino she'asa lo maisa lekuchin. He did a new maisa lekicha. From this Gemara is mashma, what we're about to see is that he did a chuppah, that the chuppah itself is called some type of new taking. And this was the Vayikach. Hoshivu by Piriyan, they made a chuppah, Va'aron and Miriam rakten lefaneha. And Aaron and Miriam danced in front. U'malachei asharis amru eim habonim smecha. And they said, the father, the mother of children, is joyous. And ultimately, this leads to the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu. Or continues 11 lines into the wides. Second to last word from the line. It said that Yocheved was es bas levi. Vayedech ish beis levi, vayikach es bas levi. Efshir bas meyav shoshim shana havi v'kar labas. If you do the math, and Rashi does for us, he spells out some easy calculation, that Yocheved was 130. And so she's called young. Damar Rav Chama bar Rav Chanina zi Yocheved. It's a reference to Yocheved. Shehorasa b'derech. She was conceived along the way to her father Levi, v'leidasa bein hachomas, and she was born as they entered into the walls. Shenemar sheyoldasa Levi b'mitzrayim. In regards to her, it said that she was born in Mitzrayim. Chazal deduce, leidasa b'mitzrayim. Her birth was in Egypt, vein orasa b'mitzrayim. But she was not conceived in Mitzrayim. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. So what's the resolution? Shenol Devosi Mani Nairis. She actually had her properties of puberty that came back to her. Vatar Vayisha Vatelet Bein Vahavis Ma'abri Bein Tos Yarchim Eikara. She was already, Yocheved, had been already pregnant with Moshe already for 3 months. So why does it say after she had returned that she conceived? Amar Rav Yehuda bar Zavina makish leidos v'lerasa. It's true. She had already conceived. However, it's to emphasize and to equate the conception to the birth. Mahu rasa shlo b'tzar, just like the conception was without pain. Af leidosam shlo b'tzar. Mikan l'noshim sekonius shlo yibepiska shel chava. Righteous women were not on the same note as Chava. Chava was cursed that the pain of childbirth, actually, that Gzar Din does not apply to Nashim Sikonios. Period. The Gemara continues about 12 lines from the bottom again towards the end of the line. Vatera Yisai Kitoivu. It says that when he was born, Moshe Rabbeinu's mother saw that he was good. Tanya, what does it mean that he was good? Rebbe Meir Aymer Toiv Shmoy. Was what they called him, Toiv. Rebbe Yehuda Aymer Tuv Yoshmoy. Toiv Ka. Rebbe Nechemya Aymer Hagun L'Nevius. He was good because he was, it already seemed that he was destined for prophecy. Rashi says that the way she knew that he was destined was through Ruach HaKodesh. Rashi says in the first wide line. The Maharsha points out that the Gemara Megillah on Yudalit Amin Aleph lists the seven prophetesses, the seven Neviot, and Yocheved is not one of them. Miriam is. So the Maharsha learned, you have to say, that the daughter told the mother. Gemara continues. And the Gemara says, Achei Rimoim Rim, Noilat Kishumol. She saw that he was good because it was clear to her that he was already good. He was good already because he was circumcised. He had a bris. V'chacham Marvin B'shah should know that Moshe Nispala Hambayis Kului Or. When Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the whole house was full with light. K'siv Hachav Ateros HaKitovu. U'k'siv Hasam, what is Toiv? Toiv is Vayara Likim Esa'ar Ki Toiv. Light is considered Toiv. If that's so, that is why Moshe Rabbeinu was called Tov, Vateros HaKitov, because there was a light that appeared in the house. Vatitzpanei Shloshi Yerachim, he was hidden for 3 months. The Egyptians only began to search the Jewish homes after the husbands and wives rejoined each other, as described in the above Gemara. Asks the Gemara, "V'hi havis ma'abra bay fasin yachmei kara." Yocheve was no longer able to hide Moshe, and she took a teva, maishna guma. What does it mean? Why did she specifically choose gomer wicker? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Mikhalim, Tzadikim Shimon and Chava, Lein Yosem Gufan. Tzadikim are more concerned about their money, literally, this is the literal translation, more concerned about their money than they are of their own bodies. The Kolkach Kama, Lama, and why is it that they elevate money as being so important? Because they're not involved in Gezel. In other words, money is something that's not easy for them to come to because they don't get involved in Gezel. Hence, the Gemara said that they took the wicker, which was cheap, Rashi Di Ramaschul Shechav Aleim explains, was cheap, and ultimately the easiest choice for Tzadikim, who are Mamonim, are Chav Aleim Yosem Igufan. Continues the Gemara of Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Yomer Dover Rach, Sheyachol Lefnei, La'amod Lefnei Dover Rach, Lefnei Dover Kasha. The wicker is something that's a very, very good protective device because it protects against both hard things and soft things as well. So it's a good device. V'tachma b'chemer u'bezefes, she covered it with pitch, Tana chomer b'fnim v'zefes m'v'chutz. The coarse pitch was put on the outside, kedei shelo yireach osei tzadik reach ra, that he shouldn't smell a bad smell. Pasuk continues, v'atasam ba tayelet v'atasam basuf. He was put inside the teva, and he was put inside the yamsuf. Rabbi Lazar am a yamsuf. That's Rabbi Lazar's opinion. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani yoimer omar agam. He was put in a swamp. Kedechsev. And we see the expression, says the Gemara, that suf refers to the konev esuf kamelu, and clearly that pasuk in Yeshayahu Yutes is talking about swamps, period. But everybody's pirate lirchot, we know the amazing story, Bas Paro comes out, 3 lines from the top, on Yud Beis, Amid Beis Melamein, she yard the lilchotz meglulei aviyah. She had gone to purify herself, to wash herself off from the tumah of her father's avodah zara. The chenu amer. Now we find in the pasuk says, "Imroch." This is a pasuk in Yeshayo Dalit. Imroch at Hashem et soyas benoy sian et mei Yerushalayim yediach mikir b'bruach mishpat v'ruach bar. See that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to wash Klal Yisrael, cleanse them from their averos, and that's what this washing was for. Rashi adds that it wasn't just a symbolic rechitza, but Rashi on the top line says, Lit bol sham l'shem geirus. So she was actually going there for the intent of conversion. V'na rosel, hol chotar Rav Yochanan ein aluchazu ela l'shem misa. Here it refers to the fact that her handmaids had died. V'chein hu omer, hinei anochi holech lamus. Esav says, I'm going to die. The Lashon Alicha is something that's associated with death. V'teres ha-teva v'sol suf. When she saw the teva of Moshe at the end of the suf, kim nechazu dekaboy la'atzulei Moshe. When her handmaid handmaids saw that she wanted to save Moshe, Amru la gvirtenu min hago shel belach basar adam, goes their gzeira. Im kol ulam kulay mekayin osa, banu v'vanav mekayin osa, va'at overes ha gzeiras ha vicha. Even if everybody in the world doesn't listen to the command of the king, but at least their own children should be listened to. Bar Gavriel v'chavata mekarka. Gavriel buried them in the ground so that their argument would not be heard. She sent her arm and it took it. One says the Amma is her arm. An Amma is the length of an arm, the forearm. And one says it was her Shivcha. Mandamu says it's her hand. That makes sense because that's the length of the arm. Mandamu Shivchasim lo ksiv yada. Should have said her hand. The fact doesn't say her hand. It says Amasa. That seems to indicate handmaid. Ulamandamu Shivchasa. Ha'amrit ba Gavriel. V'chavta Megarka. But didn't we just say that that Shivcha was gone? Says the Gemara, Deshar Lachada Delav, or Chedabas Malka, Lamekim Lachuda. One was left alive because it's not appropriate and it's not the way for the daughter of a king to go alone. Umadama Yada Lichtov Yada. And if it's her hand, it should say the hand. Hakamashwan Deshtarviv Ishtarvuvi. Her hand was entirely stretched out. We find it in regards to the arm of Bas Paro that is stretched out miraculously. And also in regards to the teeth of Rishayim. Literally, this expression comes from a pasuk in Tehillim. Kuma Hashem Moshieni Elokai, ki kises kolai vailechi, shinei Rishayim shibarta HaKadosh Baruch Hu has broken the teeth of Rishayim. But there was a miraculous growth in regards to a Rosh's tooth as well. V'amar Reish Lakish, al tikri shibarta, ela shiribavta. And that refers to Lashna Vishtrovavi, and that is the stretching out of teeth. The Gemara describes, Rashi makes reference to this, three lines from the top. And what the Gemara here is describing is a Gemara in Brachas on Daf Nundalid on the Beis that says in regards to Og Melech HaBoshan that he once uprooted a mountain and he put it over his head to destroy Klal Yisrael, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent ants and made a hole in the mountain and his head went into the mountain. It fell, the head that was over his head rested on his shoulders, and when he wanted to take it off, he was trapped because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had his teeth extend into the mountain and he couldn't take it off of his head, as the Gemara describes. Hence, this description of Shrivivta is something that we have in other places. Continues the Gemara. Nine lines into the wide. First word of the line is Shibarta. Vatiftach vatareu esayelet. She opened it up and she saw the child. Vateira mi boile. Why does it say Vatirehu? It should have said Vateira, she saw the child. The Lashon is difficult. No, the reason why we have the plural Vatireu, not in the singular Vateira, is because she saw that the Shechina was there. V'hinei nar boiche, kri le yelad v'kri le nar. He's referred to as both a child, as a yelad, and as a nar, as almost an adolescent child. Tano hu yelad v'kolo kinar. Dear Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said that he was a baby, he was a yelad, but he already had the voice of an adult. Amar le Reb Nechemia. Reb Nechemia asked him, "Imkein, Asisa Moshe Rabbeinu Balmum? You think you've created something positive that he already was so mature that his voice was the voice of a nar, but that's turned him into Balmum, someone. But that would make his voice not normal, and hence he's considered a Balmum. Allah suggests Rabbi Nechemia a different shot. Melamed comes to teach us, Shasala ima chupas n'urim b'teva, she already made a chupa for him in the teva. Amra shemelo iske l'chupa, so maybe I won't be zocha for his chupa, at least I will make him a chupa. It was a sign of mourning. The Gemara continues, v'tachma l'olov, that Basia, the daughter of Paro, had mercy on him. V'tomer miyalde ivrim ze. She said he is of the Jewish extract. Asamar mino yoda, how did she know? Amar b'yasar v'chinin shiraas oisimol. We learned before on Yubezim and Aleph that Moshe Rabbeinu was born Mahul, and so she saw him Mahul according to that opinion, or he had already as well gotten his bris miva. She had said miyalde ivrim ze, this one. Why did she say ze, this one? She just said, I told him miyalde ivrim ze. Omer Rabbi Yochanan milamid shinis nabo sheloi midaitoi midato. She said prophecy without realizing it. What prophecy was it? Ze nofel ve'ein acher nofel. That he fell into the Nile and no one else is going to fall in. After Moshe Rabbeinu, that was it for children that had gone into the Nile. Rashi says, ve'ein acher nofel yor shose yom batul gzeirosam. That day, the gzeira had been vutal. Of course, we said the Nile, but that depends on the opinion of how you read what suf is, whether it's Yam Suf or a swamp. Continues the Gemara. V'hainu da'amri Rabbi Lazar, ma'i dichsi v'chi yomra lechem dirshu al avos v'al yidunim ha-metzavtsefim v'ha-mahagim. The pasuk in Yishayahu describes the people who push going to different sorcerers, and the pasuk concludes in Yishayahu ches, halo Am el alokav yidrosh. You go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So these sorcerers are described in different ways. Yidonim, mitzafim, and mahagim. What's tzofim? That the goyim see ve'enan yodin matzofim. They see, but they don't know what they're seeing. Mahagim, ve'enan yodin ma mahagim. They make noise, and they don't know what they're making noises about. Explains the Gemara why we quoted this right now in regards to Basia saying prophecy without realizing it. This was something that took place in another context in Mitzrayim. Rosh and Moshiach Shalei saw the Mayim Huloka. They saw that the Savior of Klal Yisrael would be punished by water. Under the gods who call Ben and Yolot Hayorot Hashichu. Kimin the Shadjuol Moshe, since Basia took Moshe out, Amru Sulo Chazina. They no longer see the sign because now Moshe was saved. So they nullified this decree. They didn't know that Moshe Rabbeinu was being punished by water in the future, by the Mei Meriva, when he hit the rack. What is this expression in the parsha of the Mei Meriva? These are the Mei Meriva. What is these are? We never heard of them before. That's what the magicians of Paro had seen many years ago. Continues the Gemara about 10 lines from the bottom. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu had said, 600,000 ragli. What's ragli? So literally they mean people who go on feet. Rashi spells out that the Gemara is darshaning that there are times that li ragli means because of me. Like Yaakov Avinu says to Lavan, Vayivarech Hashem Oscha li ragli, that means because of me. God blessed you because of me. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, it's because of me. I'm the Moshe Yisrael b'shvinim and tzaltim kulukhan. You were all saved because of me, because after the Simon had fallen away, so that the Savior of Klal Yisrael
was going to be oppressed through water, and it disappeared because he was taken out of water by Basia. So then there were other Jewish children that were able to be born.
Rabbi Chanina bar Papa Amar Oisa Yom Esrim Ve'echa Benisan Haya. The day that it happened, Moshe Rabbeinu was saved, was the 21st of Nisan. Hayom Rumalach Yashar Sefnei Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Malachim said to God, Rabbonu Shalom, Misha Asa Lomer Shila Hayom Bayom Ze Yilake Bayom Ze Yilake Bayom Ze. The one who is going to sing at the Yam Suf, this is the day for him to be punished. Rav Acha bar Chanina Maros Hayom Shishi B'Sevin Haya. It was the sixth of Sivan on Malach Yashar Sefnei Kodesh Baruch Hu Rabbeinu Shalom. Misha Asa Kabel Torah Me'asina Bayom Ze Yilake Bayom Ze. In the day that he's going to accept the Torah and six of seven, she should get punished. Analyzes the Gemara, either Pshat, amazing Pshat, and either the 21st of Nisan, the 7th of Pesach, was when Moshe Rabbeinu was pulled out of the water, or the sixth of seven. The Gemara now analyzes either opinion. We could find 3 months. The Gemara now is bothered with the calculation. If we're going to say that the dates that Moshe Rabbeinu were found were either 6th of Sivan or the 20th of Nisan, and we know that the Pasuk tells us that he was 3 months old, as we mentioned earlier on Daf Yubeis Amud Aleph and Yud Aleph Amud Beis, that when he was 3 months old is ultimately when he was taken out of the house. So it spells out the Gemara. One opinion here is going to make sense. The opinion that says it's the first of Sivan, everything adds up. But the other opinion is not going to. Why? De Omer Mar. Says the Gemara, Bishleim Ma Nam Shisha B'Sivim Michasal Gimel Yarchi, De Omer Mar as Mar Taros. We're about 12, 11 lines from the bottom. B'Shiva Ba'ador Meis. We have a tradition. This Gemara is quoted in other places. In Megill Yud Gimel Amin Bezin Kedush Shalam Miches Amin Alf. Then Moshe Rabbeinu, Bishiva Badr Mesu Bishiva Badr Nolad. He was born and he died on the same day, the 7th of Adar. Umishiva Badr Vad Shisha Sivan Tosirachim. Perfect. Almost exactly 3 months between the 7th of Adar and the 6th of Sivan. Elamad Amar Besim Vecha Benisan Hecha Mishkach Eslo. However, if we're going to say it's the 21st of Nisan and he was born on the 7th of Sivan, so how are you going to get 3 months? That's a month and a half. Answers the Gemara, Osashanam Uberes Haisa. That year, there was 2 Adars, more than 2.5 months. Haitha Ruba Shal Rishon, you have the majority of Adar, Viruba Shal Achron, the majority of Nisan, then Tzai Shalem, and the full Adar base. 8 lines from the bottom, or a little bit more, maybe even 10. Vatom Erachos Al Bas Paro. So then Miriam jumps out and offers to solve the fact that this little beautiful baby needs to be fed. Hey, look, the cross lach ish min hekes min yavriyos. I could call a woman to give him to breastfeed. Umayshna mi yavriyos. Why did she suggest mi yavriyos? Melam mechich ziru lamayshal coming through his kula. They gave Moshe Rabbeinu to drink from mitrios. Velo yinat. And he did not nurse from them. Omar. Who this Omar is a little unclear. The Hagos and Siyunim say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pesha osu l'daber yimash shchina yonek vartuma. The mouth that's going to speak with the shchina is going to suckle from a davar tuma. V'haynu d'chsiv. And this is what is said in the Navi. In Yeshayo. It's mi yoredeh, a beautiful pasuk. V'ez mi yavin shmua. Gemule mecholav atike mishdoim. Literally, the pasuk is saying, who should you teach knowledge to? Start with the little children. They're the ones who are pure to teach them. However, Chazal have another layer of understanding. As Rashi spells out in Dibur HaMatzlef Mi Yoredeya, L'mi limed HaKadosh Baruch Hu Taira to? Who does HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach Taira to? L'mi shegrumel v'hifrish atzmei cholav tamei, if he removes himself from a dover tamei. In Mirtz Hashem, in the Halacha section, we will discuss how the Gra in Shulchan Aruch makes a big deal about this Gemara. The Gemara is 7 lines from the bottom, says, Vatomer lo bas paro. And bas paro says, back to her, l'chi go, fetch her. Amar Rebbe Lozom Alamich, olcha bezrizus, ka lama. We see from here that she ran with a tremendous amount of speed, that she had inside of her. Pasuk says that she ran, now the Pasuk uses another word to describe the sister Moshe. Why is she called over here an Alma? So the Pasuk in Devarim says, Chazak v'ametz, by Yoshua, la perik lamed aleph, and Targum translates it, takif alam, to be very, very strong, and to use all of one's kochos. This is Rashi's explanation in terms of what, that she went ka'alma, in other words, she went with all of her strength. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani Omar, ha'alma elima estivareha. A different shot, that she covered up her words, that she did not say that she was his sister. V'atomer lo baspara ha'yilchi, excuse me, ha'yilchi es ha'yelad hazeh, v'heini ke'ili, v'ani eten eschorech. She says, please take this child to nurse. Am Rabbi Chaim Baruch Hanina, misnabo v'ani yodas ha'ganathim. She was prophesizing, as we had her already earlier doing, v'ani yodas ma'misnabe. Helichi ha shelichi. She was alluding to the fact that it actually belonged to Yocheved. She's saying, ha shelichi, this is yours. Vani etein eschorech, she continues on, Bashkes, I'll pay for you. Pay you to feed him. Amr b'chama b'chanin aloi dayin l'tzadik shemachzir l'an avay doson. El shenois l'an scharon. A tzadik, in this case, Yocheved, has her object returned to her, her dearest object, her son Meisha. And not only that, she receives payment. V'tikach Miriam anaviyah chayis Aaron. We learn later on that Miriam anaviyah, the sister of Aaron, took the tambourine and she went out to sing. Chazal medayik achos Aaron v'lo achos Moshe. That it says the sister of Aaron, it doesn't say the sister of Moshe. Amar v'amar v'amar rav, v'amar v'amar v'nachman v'amar rav. She used to prophesy when she was the sister of Aaron. Top of you, Gimel Amen Alpha Omeres, I see the Mishitele Ben Shemeshias Yisrael. And she would say that her mother is going to give birth to a child that will save Klal Yisrael. V'kivan Shenela and Meishin Ismaele Kol Abayis Kula Ora. Or, the house be full of light. Amad Aviyah V'nishka Rasha. Amar lo abiti niskaim nivuasech. V'kivan shi'itu aliyar, amad aviyah v'tafcha rosha. But when he was thrown into the water, Amram did not believe that Moshe would come out alive. So he tapped her on the head in frustration. Amar lo abiti heicha nivuasech. V'haynu disiv atesatza v'chotz merachal gdas meyasalon leida ma'yehe b'self nivuasa. She herself was confused what's going to be with the end of Nevuah, and she saw the solution. So that is why Miriam is referred to Achos Aaron v'lo Achos Moshe, because her very important Nevuah took place in the lifetime of Aaron, and Moshe was not alive. That's why when they go out, it says Achos Aaron, when she goes out with the tambourine. Beis Hashem, for the halacha part for today, on Daf Yud Beis, the Gemara told us, 8 lines from the bottom, that Moshe Rabbeinu refused as a baby to nurse from the Egyptian women because Pesha also Ledaber Mashchina Yoneg Dvar Tuma, a mouth that ultimately is going to speak with the Shechina, so then ultimately that is not a mouth that should eat from a Dvar Tuma, in other words, from Isha Mitzris. This is found in Shulchan Aruch. How it is found in Shulchan Aruch might be a little bit of debate, but it is found in Shulchan Aruch in a comment of the Ramah combined with a comment of the Gra. In Simin Pei Aleph, Siv Zayin, there the Mechaber is discussing the age in which it's appropriate for children to nurse. Firstly, the halacha of milk is that the Gemara in Bechoros tells us that milk is permissible. Exeris hakosav eretz zavas chalav udevash. It's permissible to drink milk.
However, the Gemara says, not only is that milk from a cow, but as well, a milk from a woman as well would be permissible. However, the Gemara says that that's only if it is appears in an appropriate manner. For someone to drink milk from a woman, so up until two, it's appropriate. However, after that, it's kiyonik sheretz, and then there is makas mardus on someone who does that. It's an issa d'rabbana with malchus midrabbana. For calculating the age of 2 years, the Rambam comments to look in other places in Eben Ezra, Siman Yud Gimel, how 2 years is calculated. Then the Rambam says a line which is relevant to us, la halacha from Sota Yud Beis and Beis. Cholav mitzvus kecholav Yisraelis. He says, halachically, there would be no difference between whether it's an Egyptian woman or it is a Jewish woman. What's the Makar? It's a Gemara. It's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Chavav Amid Aleph, which at first glance might seem to fly in the face of our Gemara. That will be a question of the Gra. When we call Malkom lo yiniku tinuk min amitzvus emefshar b'Yisraelis, the chol of avodas kochavim mitames alev umolad lo teva ra, says the Ram over there in Siman Pei Aleph. He says that this is the source of the concept of trey food or tame food being mitamtem the lev, stuffing up the heart, and it causes the child to grow up with bad midos. Obviously, there's something a little bit more than halachic about this, that there's something on a spiritual level that's inappropriate to come from this makom tuma. For that reason, the Rama adds another halacha, where he says, therefore, a nursing woman should be careful not to eat non-kosher food. The Shach comments, and he says, why would a Jewish woman need to be warned by the Rama not to eat non-kosher food? All of Yaradeya is telling us you can't eat kosher food. So he says the nafkamina would be what happens if the mother is sick. So if the mother is sick, in a case of where it would be permissible to eat non-kosher food, so then in such a case, the child should not nurse, says the Shach Sivkotun, should not nurse from such a woman because of the chash of timtum alev that the Rama had brought up over here. Siman Pei Aleph Siv Zayin. The Gra quotes that many Rishonim disagree with this Rama, and part of their rationale to disagree with this Rama is our Gemara, because our Gemara had said that Moshe Rabbeinu was not Hakadosh Baruch Hu did not allow him to eat to suck from the Egyptian woman because the Peh Kadosh would be inappropriate to speak with the Shechina. So on the one hand, we got the Gemara Navodah that says that there's no difference between Cholav Yisrael and Cholav Mitzris. On the other hand, we've got our Gemara that seems to have the Chash. So there are two ways of reconciling the two. The Gra's way of reconciling, at least according to some Rishonim, is he says the Gemara Navodah Zarah is only talking about the Makom Sakana. That in a case of a makom sakana, so then in such a case, we would not differentiate between cholav mitzvahs and cholav yisraelis. However, this would not be, on a halachic basis, in any way, an equation between cholav mitzvahs and cholav yisraelis. And the Gra says that the milk of an Egyptian woman, of a Gentile, would be considered like behema tmeya. He says, of course, the Rama is quoting other Rishonim that disagree, and one way of presenting it is that we have a fundamental machlokas between the Gra and the Rama, quoting his Rishonim, the Ran, in the name of the Rajba, whether our Gemara is to be understood as a halachic Gemara, or to be understood as a Eitzah Tova of Timtum Alev, but not to say that she has a status like a Behema Tmeya. So it seems it's a machlokas between the Gra and the Rama. Maybe we could add that the Maritz Chiyus on our Gemara, that parish that we like, that we've quoted in the past, gets involved with this machlokas between the Gra and the Rama, where he's bothered by the following question. Maritz Chiyus asks, look in the halach in Shulchan Aruch, it seems from Shulchan Aruch that this does not only apply to someone who's going to speak with the Shechina. It's Peh Kadosh, someone who's ultimately going to be a Peh Kadosh. In Shulchan Aruch we say, "Delo yiniko tinok min avodos kochavim," because metamte mesalev. Not because it's a Peh
kadosh. So therefore, he suggests that the Gemara brought in a new reason outside of Timtum Alev because it was prior to Matan Torah. However, one could argue that our Gemara, when it says Pekadosh, the Gemara is talking to all of us, not just Moshe Rabbeinu, that all of us speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of us encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Tefillah and in Torah. And hence, the Gemara is evoking the rule of Timtum Halev in regards to all of us, and it's described in the context of Pekadosh. The Maritzchias does not understand it this way, and he understands Pekadosh and Timtum Halev as two different things. It seems that according to the Gra, the halacha of what constitutes something that's kosher and something that's not kosher is defined by the fact when it comes to a Jew, because, and what a mussar this is, if a Jew has a mouth of Kedusha, so then that mouth has to constantly be used for Kedusha to the point that anything that has any semblance of Tumah will actually then not only be a spiritual rule, if you will, what will become a halacha, and therefore the chalav of a goya would have the din of a tmeya. Second, the halacha lemaisa topic that emerges from the Agadata on Yud Aleph Amabez is the phenomenon that we had in our Gemara, that the Gemara says that Kalev was referred to as Ben Knaz, and Asniel is referred to as Ben Knaz Achi Kalev, even though they were, at least Kalev, was adopted by Knaz and was not his actual father. So here we see Lechura, that an adopted son is attributed back to the father and is considered also the Ben, the son of that particular father. It comes up in Halacha Lamaisa when it comes to the writings of a ksuba and of a get, particularly in a case where, take a boy or a girl, grew up in the home of an adopted father and the biological father had entirely abandoned the child, and in many cases the preference, the emotional preference of both the child and all those who are involved, including the Rabbanim, is to put down the father who actually raised the child, even though this is not the biological father. So in a case of where Sarah, a fictitious name, her biological father was Avram, however, the actual father that raised her was named Yitzchak, would it be acceptable to write Sarah bas Yitzchak, even though her father was actually, her biological father is not Yitzchak, but rather it is Avram? So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about this. He does not make reference to our Gemara, but Rav Moshe Feinstein in Evin Ezer, Chelek Dalet, Simin Chavav Oz Beis, says, "Uleinyin get shnichtav about shem ha'av al misha gadlasa o shagadol kishelo yada shem ha'av." So Rav Moshe talks about, he has a partial, has our case partially. He talks about a case where the name of the biological father was not known. So the question now is whether the get was kosher. So Ramesha says that it is kosher, and he brings an interesting proof that the pasuk's called Serach Bas Asher. Yet the Ramban in Bamidbar in Perek Chavav, pasuk Memvav, says that actually Serach was not the daughter of Asher, but she was actually the daughter of the wife of Asher, but because he was the father who was around in the house at the time that she grew up. Hence, it would be acceptable for a get. Rav Moshe concludes, Alichtov tov la'atzki b'feirish b'get, bas ploni shegid losa kibito. That you should say, don't necessarily say it straight out, but rather shegid losa kibito. In many ways, that is more of a praise for the father himself than just simply being Sara bas Yitzchak, but rather Sara shegid losa al yidei Yitzchak. That shows a tremendous thing about Yitzchak himself. The Hamasifta Gemara quotes in the name of the Shuvas Minchas Yitzchak in Chelek Vav Simin Kuf Nun Aleph that the Minchas Yitzchak actually brought a raya from our Gemara. That our Gemara says that Kalev is attributed to the house of Knaz, even though it was his mother's husband, but not his biological father. And Rashi says, Me Anshe Beisom Gedolav Shel Knaz. So he's also called Ben Knaz. So therefore, he suggests He suggests that it could be that our Gemara is also supporting the idea that an adoptive parent could be referred to as the ben, the child being the ben of that parent. Minchas Yitzchak is discussing a case where a girl will be devastated if she will know that her biological father is not her adopted father, and she will go out of her mind. So the suggestion of the Minchas Yitzchak is to write, in the case of Sarah, Sarah de Miscaria, Sarah Bas Yitzchak, that she's called Sarah Bas Yitzchak, even though her father, her biological father, is a different one, because if you use this expression, de Miscaria, that she is called, that's an expression that we use sometimes when a person has another nickname as well. So this is an expression that's used to describe her. I would just like to add that it could be our Gemara is not such a strong raya. Because in our Gemara, there are two points that emerge. First of all, there's just two small ha'aris on what Minchas Yitzchak is saying. Number one is that in our Gemara, the Gemara points out that Kalev is referred to as Haknizi as opposed to Ben Knaz. So we see that the general expression of Ben Knaz, even though Rashi said he's Me'anshe Beis Abdulav, at the end of the day, he's not referred to as Ben Knaz. Hence, it would be problematic to use that expression based on our Gemara. Number two, the Makar of the Gemara as well is dubious in the sense that the Gemara quotes the pasuk Vayilkada Asniel ben Knaz Achi Kalev. So Kalev is referred to as the brother of Asniel, who is referred to as ben Knaz. There is no source over here from this Gemara that Kalev was ever referred to as Kalev ben Knaz. If that is so, so then it is hard to use our Gemara to say that there would be a justification, even outside of any other factors, that a child who is adopted would be able to be referred to by the father's name without doing the miscaria. It must be noted as well that the Minchas Yitzchak points out that one should never, even if one took his logic based on the Gemara, to say that it would be appropriate to call him Kalev Ben Knaz, even though that was only his adopted father. Nevertheless, we would never do it Mi'ikur Dedina. Ramesha Feinstein had taught us that B'di'evet, it would be kosher, but L'chatchila Mi'ikur Dedina, we would never do it for the following reason, and that is that there are issues of marrying, of course, one's brother or one's sister, and knowing who one's father is very, very important in terms of deciding who is permissible and vice versa, who is prohibited because of a biological relative. Hence, we would never put in Sarah Bas Yitzchak as the case that we had given before, but rather it would always be as the Minchas Yitzchak, who believes that we would have a proof from the Gemara and Sota on Yud Aleph and Beis. Even he only goes as far as to say Sarah de Miscaria Sarah Bas Yitzchak.